Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. These are God's words. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So for the reading of God's word. Well, the one who has been justified, that means been made right with God or given a right standing with God or made to be accounted righteousness before God, the one who has been justified through believing in Jesus Christ has the glory of God promised to him, guaranteed to him. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you not only have right now Jesus' righteousness counted for you, so that you are righteous before the justice of God as the glorified saints in heaven. You are as righteous before the justice of God as Jesus himself, because Jesus is himself your righteousness. But not only do you have that, but you are certain to come at last into fully enjoying God's glory, and even you yourself radiating, refracting, displaying God's glory in you as you are conformed to the image of his Son. This is what you are predestined for. This is how you can, the only way you can come to be righteous before God is those whom he foreknew, those he chose and loved in Christ, he predestined. Those he predestined, he also called. And you say, oh, God has made me love him. I'm one of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so the purpose of God in saving you is what has given you any love for God. No one has any real love for God unless they have been made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those who are predestined must therefore be called, which has already happened, justified, which if you believe in Christ has already happened, and glorified, which has not yet happened, but is just as sure. So you will fully enjoy God's glory, and you will perfectly reflect that glory that you enjoy. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Your loving him stands upon his grace. You stand upon his grace to love him. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, if we have this guaranteed hope for the glory of God, then we are going to ask him for that. We are going to pray that he would give us the promised thing of which we are sure. What is prayer, Sophia? Do you remember? Prayer is asking God for things that he has promised to give. And so in a couple of chapters from where we are in Romans 5, he's going to talk about our suffering with Christ and being glorified with Christ and inheriting with Christ. And he's going to talk about those who have the first fruits of the Spirit groaning, and that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And what is the Spirit praying for? In large measure, it is that we would be glorified. What does the Spirit train us to pray for? As we learn by God teaching us from His Word and by His Spirit more and more how to pray according to His mind, we're praying that we would be glorified. We're praying that we would receive that for which we, that hope in which we rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But then we don't realize some of the other things that we're praying for. Because he says not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So you say, Lord, give me the thing I hope for. And often the answer to that prayer is, of course, here's some tribulation. Because the thing for which we hope is something that comes through those troubles, through those frustrations and sufferings and persecutions and difficulties and pains and griefs through which you get perseverance. And the perseverance having to over and over and over and over again rest only on Christ because I don't have any strength in me. Rejoice only in Christ because there's nothing good in me apart from Him in which I may rejoice. Perseverance, building that habit of having to depend upon Christ alone and delight in Christ alone. Our troubles produce perseverance because they keep sending us back and sending us back and sending us back. And eventually, that depending upon Christ and delighting in Christ that happens through all of those repetitions of trouble, that becomes more and more our character. Perseverance produces character and character hope. We come fully to enjoy Him at the last. We come fully to reflect His character of depending upon Him, delighting in Him, especially at the last. Now, hope does not disappoint. We know that it will not. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. And you think of the image is pushed and spread into every corner, giving full coverage. The old translation says shed abroad. You think of a poke cake that you're going to make. And you've baked the cake and you've poked the holes and now you've got the chocolatey fudge or the caramel or whatever it is. And you pour it on until it enters all the holes and saturates all the parts and covers the whole top. The love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. One of the main things that the Holy Spirit does for us is He convinces us of the love of God and saturates our hearts with it. And then, so verses 6 through 10 function that way. It says, think about what God has already done for us while we were sinners, when we were not yet reconciled, when the transaction hadn't taken place and you weren't yet made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. He already loved you. He already gave Christ for you. Nobody would do this for any wicked man. They'd hardly do it for a righteous man. But God did it for you, and you were a sinner because He loved you. And if that's how much He loved you already, before He brought you by that love into the state of reconciliation with Him, is His love less now that you have been reconciled? No. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we have a marvelous gospel of the love of God for us, what the love of God has done, what the love of God will do. And we are driven by the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of that love to ask for that for which we hope. But let us not be surprised when the answer to that request is many troubles and tribulations and pains and griefs that send us flying to depend only on Christ because all else has been taken out from under us, or to delight only in Christ because other comforts and pleasures are being removed from us. This is the real Christianity, not the victorious life that has all its troubles removed, but that hope that is the glory of God himself, that hope that is God himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we depend so much on the comforts and creations that you have given us. We delight so much in them. Oh, help us, have mercy upon us, for we are in need of much perseverance training, that our character would come to be one of depending only and entirely upon you, even as we use your means, and delighting entirely in you, even as we enjoy your gifts. And so we pray that you would give us whatever you might, whatever is necessary. We know, Lord, from this passage that it does mean trouble and difficulty and pain, and anything else that you and your wisdom might bring us through. And so we tremble to ask you for it. We ask you not that you would give us trouble indiscriminately, but that you would give us that for which we hope according to your perfect wisdom. And that when it means trouble, that you would sustain us in the midst of it, that we would have your grace by which to stand, that we would have your love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, saturating every part, covering every corner, that we would hope in Christ and know the greatness of your love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And grant that by these we might go through the trouble and be made like our Savior, in whose name we ask it. Amen.